You're listening to SBS News.
Faye Jackson didn't expect to still be alive at 61. After being diagnosed with bipolar schizoaffective disorder in her mid-30s, she was prescribed psychiatric medications. Within just 2 months, her physical well-being had drastically declined.
I put on 22 kilos in that 2 months, and then all sorts of things started going wrong. Like, I ended up with a neurological condition that is advancing as I get older. I had kidney problems, liver problems, gut problems. I've got a number of underlying now chronic diseases, none of which I had before I had to go on to psych meds.
Ms. Jackson says her doctors gave managing her mental health priority, despite her physical health declining over the 25 years she was on the medication.
I was becoming very, very ill, but it wasn't taken seriously. At one point, I've had really nasty bowel polyps, and at one point I felt the same experiences were back. But it took me 18 months to convince the doctors to do another colonoscopy. Whereas if I didn't have a mental health issue, they would have looked at that straight away.
That all changed when she moved to a regional area, prompting a change in GP. Ms. Jackson's new doctor was so concerned about her physical health, she was referred to a specialist.
They worked together and took me off medications and started me on CBD oil from a neurological condition, which I think actually has really helped my mental health as well. I've lost 12 kilos. My cholesterol levels and my physical health issues have gone from putting me up in the very high bracket of risk to heart disease down to the low bracket since coming off those meds.
Her memory also improved. She was gradually able to exercise more, and she felt she contributed better at home and at work. It's this type of shared model of care that's outlined in Being Equally Well, a new national policy roadmap from the Mitchell Institute for Education and Health Policy at Victoria University, the Australian Health Policy Collaboration, and Equally Well Australia. Professor Maximilian de Kooten is director of the Mitchell Institute.
We have this huge gap in life expectancies between people with severe mental illness and age-matched Australians who don't have those illness. Between 14 and 23 years, those people with severe mental illness die earlier than the average Australian.
Almost 80% of Australians with serious mental health conditions die as a result of chronic physical health conditions that can be effectively managed and often prevented. They're 6 times more likely to die of cardiovascular disease, 5 times more likely to die of a smoking-related illness, and 4 times more likely to die from respiratory disease. Professor de Kooten explains.
To some extent, it's a result of our medical and healthcare system having specialized into different silos so that these people quite often fall between the gaps and one side is not being looked at in their treatment journey. And quite often, the majority, if you look at what those people die of, it's physical health issues.
The roadmap was developed in partnership with a large group of GPs, psychiatrists, mental health consumers and carers, and other health professionals. It details major improvements needed for primary healthcare services to increase the quality and length of the lives of people with serious mental illness.
Basically, we're calling for holistic care or integration of care, integration of your mental health needs and physical health needs. One recommendation is also how to improve navigation between those systems. And a third and last broad set of recommendations is to continue monitoring that gap and the quality of healthcare by having health registry to, in the future, close that gap or bring it closer together.
The roadmap has the backing of the federal government, with Health Minister Greg Hunt formally launching it.
The Being Equally Well report identifies the mental health challenges, that we have higher rates of mental health and suicide in our Indigenous communities. You know, this remains one of our deepest national tasks. But we have many, many health challenges in culled communities. And so what we need to be able to do in terms of the mental health side is to specifically target and reach into people of non-English speaking backgrounds. So that's a critical element in our $2.3 billion national mental health plan that we announced in the budget.
Professor Maximilian de Kruijten says while it's not possible to say exactly how much it will cost to implement, the savings will far outweigh the investment needed. He says some of the proposals can be put into place this year, while others will take 2 to 3 years.
Where we argue for a different workforce being involved, people helping to navigate the system better for those with severe mental health illness. So there you need training and building up the workforce. So that takes a little bit longer. But one thing hopefully immediately will spur an action is our release on these numbers to increase the awareness of this life expectancy gap.
He says improving the overall well-being of people with mental health conditions is more crucial now than ever, with the COVID-19 pandemic and stresses of lockdowns increasing the burden on the already strained sector. And if fully realised, he says, the changes won't only benefit those who have severe mental health conditions or care for people with them.
That's ultimately something relevant to all Australians, to all of us, that we don't have one disease domain, the mental health domain, dominating over the physical health or overshadowing, but that we really have a care of the mind and the body.
Amy Hall, SBS News.